Hello, dear listeners, and welcome back to the Dual Screens podcast, the world's number one indie game developer and sometimes composer interview podcast, probably. Joining me this week, this is a real treat, is Enrique Martin, not the real Ricky Martin, I've been told. Otherwise known as Pentadrangle, the video game music composer behind such amazing games, Spicy Piggy, Void Run, Nuclear Blaze, Lords of Exile, Roof Rage, and my personal favorite on this list, Cyber Shadow. Enrique, how's it going, buddy?
Hi, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's pretty cool being here. Thanks.
Yeah, it's, you know, when I think about my favorite games or games that are, that really connect with me, sound is always a big part of it. So I want to know, how does one get, what put you on this path to where one would say, I want to make games for a living? Where did you sort of stray and say, I want to make video game music for a living?
Well, I've been making music for my, I would say for my entire life. I think I started making music with some bands that I played with. I'm a keyboard player, so I played keyboards for a metal band, something really dark and almost progressive metal band, and I also played keyboards for a pop band for a long time, for another pop band for a long time too, and then that led me to a point where my life needed to have a little bit of a change, and I quit all the bands I was playing with, and suddenly I couldn't make music anymore. So I decided that I needed to keep doing music. And I started considering options like, you know, producing bands myself and making music just for myself. And then I was invited to a scuba diving trip with some friends. And I don't do scuba diving, so I had a lot of time. And by then I was playing Shovel Knight in the Nintendo 3DS, and I was listening to the wonderful soundtrack by Jake Kaufman. I said to myself, I mean, I can't do chiptune music this good, but I could definitely do something decent, I think. And when I came back to my city, I started making a portfolio and started talking to developers via Twitter, and I found my first gigs via Twitter, and I started making music for video games, and that's more or less it.
So we gotta circle back, because that's sort of amazing how you found yourself playing Shovel Knight, which is a yacht club game.
Yeah.
And fast forward, how many years later, you're doing the soundtrack.
Not too many years later, actually. Not too many years later.
So
like 2 or 3 years later.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then you're doing Cyber Shadow's entire like 66-track soundtrack.
Yeah.
A game published. I think it was the first game that Yacht Club published. Like, they were just doing their own thing, like just developing games. And this is their first...
I think that they have published before Mighty Striker Gunvolt or something. Like
okay.
That. I'm not really sure about that data. I'm not really sure.
But so either what was that feeling like? Like knowing that the the company that made a game with a really kick-ass soundtrack.
Yeah, that really inspired me somehow to start doing this. Yeah, it was a pretty surreal, you know. And actually, in the beginning, I was when Arne, the developer, Arne Hansiker, the developer of Cyber Shadow, when he reached the agreement with Yacht Club Games, I was told that actually the very own Jake Kaufman would produce the soundtrack of the game. That wasn't entirely done by them, because Yacht Club Games entered in the equation, like, I think that it was like in the third or fourth year of development of the game. And, you know, the soundtrack wasn't at all completed by then. So I was told that Jake was going to produce the music. And actually, the only thing that he produced was the first trailer music. Because, you know, he said, it's good as it is. Why I'm going to produce something that is okay? So he decided to leave the soundtrack as it was, because he liked it. And that was, I think, that the best compliment that I ever got in my entire life. You know, I'm a Jake Kaufman super fanboy. And, you know, being told this was like going to heaven.
Why not just stop at that point? And I feel like, okay, I've done it.
Yeah, but you know, I thought I've done it. I did it. But then I started collaborating with Yuzo Koshiro in the next game. So who knows what's going to come next, you know?
Now, for those who don't know who that is, because then, like me, for example, what is the who is that and why is that collaboration important?
Who's Yuzo Koshiro? Yuzo Koshiro is the composer behind the soundtracks of Streets of Rage,
okay,
among many others. You know, he's a super good Japanese chiptune Japanese composer, and we'll be collaborating with him in the soundtrack of Lords of Exile that is being produced by now.
So what is working with a yacht club sort of developer, what does that do for your career? Like, this began for you as a curiosity. You're taking your musical experience, your progressive dark metal band background, and bringing it into chiptunes for the first time, thinking, I could create something that's same level.
I mean, I was when I first talked with Arne, I told him, well, that's what I have done till now. I think that I could do some really good music for your game, because, you know, I really like the games you are being inspired by when you're doing Cyber Shadow, like, I don't know, Blue Shadow or all the Shadow Warriors franchise. And I really love that music, and I could do something more or less similar, with maybe not following all the restrictions but of the original hardware, but I think that I could do something cool. And he said, okay, so I can send you a video of a recording of the first level. That was the only thing that had been done by them. And so you can play some music over it and record it, and you can show me. So I really dug into the thing. I tried a lot of stuff, and I composed several tracks for that video he sent me. And I sent him the thing, and he liked it. And anything in that video ended up being in the final version of the game. But anyway, that started the beginning point of our collaboration. And when Yacht Club Games came in, it was like, well, this game is definitely gonna get a lot of exposure, and mm-hmm. you know, it helped both of us and the game itself, definitely.
Do you find yourself in that same position where you're reaching out to developers to like potentially work on their soundtracks, or is it now more of you're a bit of a name now in this sphere, and folks are reaching out to you like, hey, do you want to work with me on this project that I'm putting together?
I must confess that I'm not looking for gigs anymore because I'm really overwhelmed with the amount of work I got from Pancake Delicieux.
Another friend of the show. Great.
Yeah.
Such a great guy.
releasing one game and composing one soundtrack every month is really time demanding. For me, it's like a part job. I have another job, so I don't have the time for other projects. So I'm not looking for anything else. I get some proposals from time to time, but no, I try to be selective.
Yeah, that's because they do one game a month. So you're doing the soundtrack for every game every single month, I imagine.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And it's really, really time demanding.
Is it a contract you have? Like, let's say you've committed yourself to do all of their games. Like,
yeah, it's weird.
Until the end of time.
When does that stop? You know,
you're part of the studio.
Yeah, I'm like the in-house composer. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. It's pretty cool what we're doing. I think that it's a new concept, and it's doing really well also. So I'm pretty happy with the job I'm doing for Pancake.
I feel like it's really easy to try to imitate what a retro chiptune soundtrack should sound like, but your compositions feel very authentic, like they were pulled from the 80s and 90s of gaming. Where do you get your inspiration from when you're putting a track together?
Well, that depends on the game I'm composing for. I try to find similar games, especially when they are retro looking games. I try, for instance, for Cyber Shadow, I was clearly inspired by the soundtrack of the games I told before, also by Mega Man games, and because that's what I thought that the game needed. So I always try not to just imitate maybe the sound palette, but and even the structures and the how would I say it, the relevance of the melody in for instance in Cyber Shadow I'm always trying to create hooks, recognizable hooks and stuff that stucks with you after you leave the game. So yeah, for that game, for instance, it was like that. But for other games, that totally depends on the game. For instance, for a game like Shotgun King, the one of the last games of Pancake Delicieux, it's a chess game. You need to think. It's retro looking, but I didn't stuck to any restrictions concerning the sound palette. So I decided to make something that goes with you where you're playing, that doesn't get a lot of attention. So less focused on the melody, more focused on the soundscape and the general, like creating some kind of aura that goes with you while you're playing. Well, that depends a little bit on the game.
How do you know when a hook is like a hook? Like when you know that a track, when you've nailed it. Because, there's times when I'm playing, like again, Cyber Shadow, and the music is just so well done. It hits you.
Thanks.
In that, it's one of the best parts of the game. I feel like it has the gameplay, but the sound design for a game like that is as equally important as how the game works and functions and performs. Because if that element wasn't at that same level of polish, it would ruin an otherwise amazing experience. Because it's all about, because it's like a food and wine pairing, music and gameplay.
Yeah, in that kind of games, I think that you could do a more modern soundtrack, like, you know, with that kind of not really ear demanding music, you know, that just is over there with some pads and some stuff. But I think that when you're playing a game like Cyber Shadow, you want to be carried on by a by bangers. So that's what I try to do, music that helps you beating an incredibly hard game and that keeps you wanting to go on, which is, I mean, I know that the game is frustrating for some people sometimes because it's really hard. And I wanted the music to motivate you to continue playing. And that's why the beginning of all the tracks are like, you know, they build in a specific way, almost every one of the tracks, and they, at least I tried to help the player and to motivate the player. And when do I know that I have a good hook? Maybe when I turn off the computer and I keep on whistling it.
There it is.
I don't know. Maybe it's a bit of that when I'm in the shower and I keep whistling it. Yeah, maybe.
I think it's a mark of a good soundtrack when it really sticks, because, you know, I can think back to playing games like Metroid and the early Mega Man games and Super Mario Brothers, and
definitely, you know, it was in my mind to create, at least to try creating earworms. Yeah,
but you have, in some respects, you have. I feel like every now and then, like, I get that,
feel happy.
Yeah, I get that little boss theme, like, just stuck in my head, and then there's the whole day. It just kind of goes from there.
That's what I wanted. So it's a sign that I probably succeeded.
Do you, being on this side, on the sound design side, and is watching, because, you know, you're so far removed from the actual game development portion. That's like the other part of the team. Would you ever cross that line?
I try to.
Oh, you tried.
Try to as much as possible. If they let me, I try to interfere with the development process as much as I can. And that means trying to QA, to give my, you know, my opinion about everything, giving ideas. And, you know, for instance, for Cyber Shadow, we were talking all the time during the development, Arne and I. We talked all the time and we shared a lot of stuff, and I told him a lot of crazy ideas. Some of them ended up being in the game, some of others didn't, and we keep on doing it. And for the rest of the people I've worked with, you know, that depends a lot of the developer. There are developers that are more closed and that decide to express their vision of the game, and they just want your music to be played. Right. And some others that listen to you and they give you room for giving your ideas. I'm not a game designer, so all my ideas are based on my experience as a player. And sometimes I'm probably right and many others I'm wrong, but, you know, I like being a part of the process.
Well, what's one of the craziest ideas that was too crazy?
I don't know. Maybe, you know, one of the bold decisions was to make music for Shotgun Keen while Benjamin Soulet, who is the main developer, was doing the game for the last game jam. At the beginning, you know, the game was gonna be presented by himself as a solo developer. Mm-hmm. And you know, I saw what he was doing, and I told him, dude, we need music for this because it's going to be great, and I think that it could be great, and I'd love to make music for it. And he told me it's really tight. We don't really have a lot of time. You have a lot of stuff to do. Are you sure? And I said, okay, yeah, I'm sure. And I made the music. We presented the game as a game by Pancake Delicieux. And I think that helped a lot the studio to continue growing up. I think that it was a good idea to do that.
Not even grow back. It put you on the map because I haven't even heard of you guys until, like, I knew about you and your career.
Yeah.
But like, as far as Punk Gate goes and what they do, like, this is my first exposure to any of their development, and they have scores of games in their back catalog, you know, cause they do this every single month for, I'm not even sure how long they've been doing this for.
It's going to be a year. I think that next month we will be doing that for a year. Yeah. So yeah.
What is that like to have to develop? I mean, is it just small? Is it just smaller soundtracks you're putting together?
On such definitely.
Yeah.
I can't compose 66 tracks in one month. That's for sure. That took me like 6 years to make 6 years to make the music for Cyber Shadow. So it definitely needs to be more reduced in size and number. But it helped me a lot to take decisions more quickly and to compose more in a faster way, because you know I've been able to spend like 1 month and a half or 2 months in a single track for Cyber Shadow and doing this and doing that and rethinking the whole thing and erasing this part because I loved it in the beginning, but after 125 hearings, I hate it. And you know, and when you have a month for doing an entire soundtrack, you can do that. So that helped me beating that part of myself. And it was if it was only for that, I think that it would be a really good idea to join the studio.
You mentioned collaborations before. What do you think are some of your dream collaborations?
I don't know. I'd like to do at least one soundtrack with adaptive music, because I'm not used to do that, and I'd love to do that. You know, more modern soundtracks, modern in you know, like in they usually do in AAA games that you play adaptive music and that kind of stuff, and you use some tools like all the modern tools that I use to create those soundtracks. So yeah, I'd like to make that kind of music.
I mean, is there any reason why you're not? Are you looking into that right now? Like, as a potential like avenue, or you're locked into?
I really don't have the time to go finding projects. That's my problem. And even if I found them, I don't know if I would have the time to do that. So, at some point, I'll probably have to choose between my current job and making music. So for now, the time, I think that it hasn't arrived, but it will probably, I'll probably get to that at some point.
What are some of the pitfalls or challenges as a video game sound composer? We hear a lot about like game design and bugs, things that are very nested in numbers and just code and coding a game. What challenges do you face when you're putting together a track or a soundtrack for a game?
I mean, I think that the first thing you need to do is try to nail the needs of the game. I try to talk with the developers about the what they think they need for the game and what they think they want for the game. And then I usually talk them about what I think the game would benefit from concerning music. There are some times that a developer thinks that some kind of music would fit his or her project, and sometimes they nail what they want, but some other times they don't, and they think that the game music should be like, for instance, like this other game's music, but sometimes they are not considering that maybe another music in another mood or another sound palette or etc. Would fit better for their project. So the first part of the job of a composer is trying to define the general sound aura of the game, the palette that you're going to use, the way the music would be played in the game, the way that music would be, how music would sound, when it would sound, the scope of the soundtrack, that kind of stuff, you know, the all the amount of things that you need to define at the very beginning of the project. And I think that that's crucial. That's the most important, one of the most important parts of the composition process is that very first part. And then there are, you know, definitely you can find many pitfalls, but even if you think that you have correctly defined the scope of the music and the palette and the mood and the idea of the music, you can fail catastrophically at it. So it has happened to me to think that I've really that I defined very well that part, and then finding out that the first track I do is rejected, and they tell me that it's not at all what they were looking for. So that usually puts me in a position where I need to rethink the whole thing. But that happens, and I need to, you know, as a composer, you need to work in the benefit of the game and also follow a little bit the instructions of the development team. So yeah, that's a part of the job. So you need to do, I think that I did like, I don't know how many, but like 7 complete different versions of the first track for Cyber Shadow. Each time I was told that, yeah, it's fine, but not for the first level. You know, the first level needs to be really pumping. And then I said, dude, okay, so let's do
it. You got some patience,
completely
man.
Different.
After like 7 or 8 tries.
Yeah. I because, you know, I was, I used a motif in the first versions. I used a motif that was gonna be the motif of Shadow, of the main character.
Right.
And I wanted to put that motif in the stage one track, and it just didn't fit. And I was obsessed about it, and I wanted it to be the leitmotif of the game, and it ended up being in the rest of the game in many parts. That main motif, but not in the first, in the stage one track, which is, I think that it's the track that finally ended up being in the game is pretty cool, but it didn't have anything to see with the first version of the track. So yeah, that happens, you know.
Yeah, that's an instance. I feel like, you know, you would think that the composer or the musician just has a better understanding of what belongs where in a game, in a sense. But to your point,
not really. There are several times that most of the times the development team is right about it, because you can be like composing really cool tracks and that you like, but they don't fit in the action, especially if you don't have, the composer doesn't have the opportunity of playing the game and seeing what the pace is and how the game works in terms of, you know, enemy placement and of all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You can be making very good tracks in abstract, you know, in general, but not for that part of the game. Or, and that's something that happens to me a lot with Pancake Delicia, where I usually get to play, you know, I get some GIFs and some screenshots of the game, and I've been told how the game works and how the game is going to work, but I don't have the opportunity of playing the game till very late in the development process, because, you know, they are also doing the game in 1 month, and things don't get together till really late usually. So yeah, several times I need to reconsider things at the last moment, and yeah, it's a tough part of the composing process.
Well, listen, at least it's not they want to use the tracks that they don't like for the intro stage. They're not saying we don't want this at all in the game.
That happened. Yeah, and sometimes I compose a track that they don't like for that game, but is reused and is recycled for another later game.
That's kind of neat. It's like you're getting ahead of the work in a sense. It's like, all right, here's 10 tracks we'd like.
For instance, with one of the soundtracks I'm speaking about, Pancake Delicia games, one of the soundtracks that was harder for me to compose was the one for Damocles Gaze. I made several test tracks that were rejected till I found what Remy wanted for the game, and one of those tracks that I found that was really cool ended up being the main track for Ecstatic, that is a later game that Benjamin Soule made for the Pancake Delicia project. So yeah, why not recycling tracks for later? Yeah.
How do you develop a soundtrack for a game where you play as a firefighter?
Well, first of all, for that game, I did have the chance of playing the game before I started making music for it, which was really cool for me, and it never happened till then. So yeah, it was a really cool experience working with Sébastien Bénard. I wanted to do something different for that game. I didn't want to stick to chiptune. I was asked to make a chiptune soundtrack. That's one of the cases where I tried to explain the developer that we could probably try something in between chiptune and other styles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he was like, okay, let's try. And I composed, I don't remember which one was the test track for Nuclear Blaze, but yeah, it definitely had some guitars going on, some real guitars going on. And
right, so you're already starting to branch out a little bit of like what you're used to doing then.
Yeah, I tried to make a more organic sounding thing, putting some also some realistic strings, and especially the soundtrack for Nuclear Blaze has a lot of guitars, of both electric guitars and acoustic guitars, and I think that they fit the thing, even if I over that guitars are being played synths and chiptune, really chiptuned sound waves, you know, and I think that's a good pairing. Yeah, it was really fun to make the music for Nuclear Blaze. It was something different for me back then, and I tried to make something similar to Nuclear Blaze with the Ratchet's Den, which is also a Pancake Delicia release. And if you listen carefully, you will find a lot of similar stuff between the two soundtracks, because they were done in the same moment, at the same time. And I shared some ideas between the two things, and especially the soundscape of the whole thing.
And again, just working with some of the best talent, Nuclear Blaze, developer of Dead Cells. So it just seems like, for a career path that you just thought to yourself on a whim, I could probably do this. You stumbled into some really
high caliber
talent.
That's a
rarity in this industry.
And it's really fun because I'm Spanish, but I ended up working with a lot of French developers.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's but, so fascinating.
Like a lot, absurdly a lot of French developers. I happen to speak French because of my background, but I haven't worked with them because I speak French. It began with the developer of Roof Rage. And then happily he ended up working in the studio that is doing Dead Cells right now, which is pretty incredible and weird. And then I worked with Benjamin Soulet with the soundtrack of Void Run, which actually was one of the founders of Motion Twin, the studio behind Dead Cells. And then I think that Benjamin maybe spoke with Sebastian about me, and when I found out about Nuclear Blaze, and I talked with Sebastian, he was like, oh, okay, you did the music for Void Run. That was done by Benjamin, which was a colleague of mine back in Motion Twin, in the Motion Twin days. And, it's really weird how everything built up. But yeah, and answering to your question, Sebastian is a really, really amazing developer that does really incredible things, like building a whole amazing toolkit for creating for designing levels. And he's more than just a level designer and a game designer. He does a lot of facets, a lot of stuff, which is I think that it's beyond just making games. And especially after he finished and we released Nuclear Blaze, we got a lot of comments saying that the game was a little bit short. And then he said, like, okay, hold my beer. And he doubled, he made a free update and like doubled the length of the game and released an update called Hold My Beer, and it's really, so that kind of guy is a really, really cool guy.
I mean, the kind of guy that makes a game because his kid likes firefighters.
Yeah, that's also
that's like a true genuine human being. They're in it for more than just the glory of being like a successful indie game developer. Because he could have just done Dead Cells forever.
Yeah,
and that was it.
Yeah, definitely.
You could have done like 1,000 Dead Cells DLC, and then adventure in Dead Cells 2 at some point.
They are actually doing it, which is
which
is pretty good, because the game, a game like that, it really never ends. So you can play it forever. And
I don't think they want it to end.
I don't know. I keep getting fun when I play it. So why not?
All right, sir. Let's pivot to some rapid fire questions.
Okay. I'll try to answer.
I'm curious, what video game soundtrack? Name me a soundtrack that really impressed you recently.
Recently.
Yeah.
I've been playing the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, the Shredder's Revenge.
Hell yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, this, you know, T. Lopez is my new chiptune. Well, not just chiptune, but like my new music hero. He has everything a game composer needs to have. And he does a banger after a banger, and he keeps doing it after Sonic Mania, and all the projects he is in are gold, and it's amazing. You know, the soundtrack he did for the Shredder's Revenge, for this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game is really something. It's really an outstanding how he cares about the original Super Nintendo games motifs and mm-hmm. The melodies of the games, how he preserves those motifs and those melodies, and the way he uses the sound palette, and how he builds the tracks, and how he gets amazing collaborations. There are even tracks with vocals, and amazing.
Those vocal tracks are really good too. Really good. I was surprised how fun those were. I was like,
and
okay,
people and amazing guitar players doing crazy solos, and mm-hmm. it's I mean, top level.
If you could pick a retro IP like a Ninja Turtles to work on, what IP would that be?
That's a good one. I don't know. You know, some of my favorite games have been retaken recently, like the Streets of Rage.
That came back
Saga.
Recently.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They came back recently. So I don't know. I maybe would say like Golden Axe.
Oh, yeah. You like your beat 'em ups, don't you? I'm yeah, stupid between do. Turtles, Streets of Rage, and Golden
Why
Axe.
Do you say that? Yeah, I definitely do. Yeah.
All right. I may know the answer to this, but let's see. If you could pick a game that you could erase from your memory and re-experience again for the first time, what game would that be?
Oh, that's a good one. I would probably fail at saying answering this question, or I'll probably remember another one, but I'd probably say for my recent experience, Ori and the Will of Wisps.
That's a good game.
No, I loved that much that game that I would like to replay it as if I never have done it before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or maybe Hollow Knight too. Yeah.
Yeah. See, those are the kind of games where you have like, you know, this perfect marriage of art design, gameplay, and sound design. It just definitely. Everything is like on all cylinders firing off.
Yeah.
I'm gonna play some of that later.
But it's a really good question.
You've been playing games as long as I have. I imagine you go way back to Nintendo days.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. Maybe also Civilization 2.
Interesting.
Yeah, if I get really back into the day, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
The phone rings in your house at a very late hour, and your kiddo picks it up. And on the phone is a police officer. And they say, "Hey, kiddo, your dad's been arrested. What crime did you commit?"
I don't know. Like going too fast in the highway or something like that. Even if I'm really
speed demon, are you?
No, I'm not. But I don't know what to say.
Do you feel like you want to go? Run all the red lights? Is that what it is?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's because of that. Who knows? Hmm. Who knows that? What crime did I commit?
Hmm. All right. And the last question I'm going to ask you. It's a very difficult question, but I feel it's going to It's going to essentially let me know if I should talk to you ever again when this podcast is over.
Okay. I'll try to respond correctly.
Well, there is a correct answer. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Definitely yes.
Definitely yes.
It's a yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Can you?
Are you gonna invite me again?
Of course, I'll always invite you back because okay. You know, your poor taste in food notwithstanding, you make great game soundtracks. So I can't write you off because of your pizza topping choices, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, I like pineapple on pizza. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm one of those guys.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, that is a type. That is a type of guy that exists that likes pineapple on pizza. You would think like the Spanish side of you and the French would be just, you think of really good cuisine.
Yeah.
I feel like it goes against what good food is supposed to be.
Well, I think that probably an Italian would be mad about
true,
that decision.
True, true. But you're right there. It's like, you know, like I'm Greek. We're all in the same gene pool. It's all the same. Yeah. It's all the same.
Yeah.
Go from definitely. The same place.
Yeah.
Well, Ricky Martin, thank you. It's been
you're welcome.
It's been a lot of fun talking to you this week. I learned a lot about, like, you know, I feel like, no pun, but you are one of the unsung heroes, I feel, of game design because
thank you.
You know, we put a lot of stress on what we can see. Like, does the game look a certain way? Does it play a certain way? And I feel like when it comes to the score and the soundtrack, most of the times, even like a really good soundtrack can sort of be forgotten. It has to be very intense and overperforming to really make an impact. And, you know, to be in the discussion in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for making the games I love sound so amazing.
Thanks for playing them and for listening to them.
What's coming down the pipeline this month from Pancake Delicio?
Oh, it's a really overscoped game.
Oh, that,
Remy is doing.
Remy is insane.
Yeah, Remy is usually he does overscope a little bit.
They are
this
totally
one
nuts.
Is crazily overscoped. And it's like an arcanoid where the pad moves in a circle. So you have a ball, which is actually the moon, and you need to go hitting that ball and killing the enemies that appear in the center of the circle. And it's like a roguelike, and you get perks and skills and stuff, and you can go to shop and buy things, and you get through levels and fight bosses, and it's really fun.
I love that.
Really fun. It's okay. Really beautiful game. I think that's one of the best looking games that Remy has done, and it also has a pretty cool soundtrack, I think, and I can't wait for it to be released.
All right.
And we don't really have a name, an official name right now, but it's going to be released really soon in the following days. And I think that's going to be great.
All right. Looking forward to that. Okay. Well, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate you, all the work you've done. Where can our listeners find out more about you? Where can they follow you? Give us your social media stuff.
Okay, I'm at Pentadrangle in Twitter and in almost everything. Pentadrangle.bandcamp.com for my music. I also have a Facebook that I don't really like update a lot. That is also like Pentadrangle whatever in Facebook, because, you know, I'm a little bit out of Facebook right now. And yeah, I especially move in Twitter. So if you want to, somebody wants to ask me anything or whatever, I'd be happy to respond. And yeah, that's it.
All right, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you, listeners. Support your indie games, support your indie game soundtrack composers. They do great work. And as always, please be excellent to each other.